than right here. We want to get the word out. Yes. We want to know as it abroad. We want to cover as much ground. Someone said there's just so much ground a little dog can cover. Lots of times I do feel like a little dog, but even as a little dog, I want to cover as much ground as I can. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy this morning, unless someone's got a praise on your heart or anything, 2 Timothy.
Brother Eddie?
Yeah?
Get started. I'm going to thank everybody for praying for our grandson.
Amen.
He's doing real well. The Lord's watched over him. He's just a little fella, but he loves the Lord and he prays over his
wonderful.
And I think all of you pray for him.
Amen.
And mostly thank God for having his hand in it.
Amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about that song they sung just a minute ago, going to get up out of that ground. And I was thinking about that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Said, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. I ain't never won nothing. But I'm more than a conqueror, amen, thanks to Christ. And praise God, we're going to make it thanks to Christ, because we're victors through Him.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let me get myself over in 2 Timothy. I love the Word of God.
Yes.
And lots of things about it I haven't quite conquered or understood, but what I do understand, I try to apply it to Eddie Wade. And good to have Brother Freddie and Sister Jane with us this morning. It's a blessing. In Sunday school, usually it's just me teaching Brother Ed. I don't think I can teach him anything, but maybe both of us can learn a little something, because we do follow the Word of God. We take precept upon precept, line upon line, hear a little and there a little what thus saith the Word of God. But it was a real blessing to have Brother Freddie with us this morning. He had quite a bit of participation in the Sunday school class, and that's a blessing in itself. I encourage that. As a matter of fact, I'd rather listen to you talk than you have to listen to me talk. I taught Sunday school for many years, and I see a lot of Sunday school teachers making this mistake. And you may have seen some of this too. But they put more emphasis on getting through their Sunday school lesson than they do getting their Sunday school lesson through.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I mean, I like to finish the lesson. I like to say, well, we're done. But it's not as important that we get through the lesson as it is important that the lesson gets through to us. That's what is important about a Sunday school lesson. And we had a good lesson this morning. We taught out of Genesis chapter 6. And we connected that to what Jesus said about Noah's day there in Luke chapter 17. But in 2 Timothy this morning, for text this morning, we're going to read the first 8 verses of 2 Timothy. Paul here addressing a young preacher named Timothy, and Paul being his elder, passing the torch down to this younger preacher. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He said, preach the word. And that's important. The word don't return void. The word is what's needed. He said, preach the word. I don't care what kind of preacher he is, as long as he's preaching the word, I can get something out of it. My pastor said preaching is kind of like eating watermelon. You might not be able to eat it all, but you eat what you can, spit the rest out. But he said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, that's about where we're at, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's somebody that wants to know what you want to hear so they can play upon your ear and tickle it. And you say, boy, I love him. I can sit under his preaching. I don't never get offended. Listen, Jesus said, blessed is he is not offended in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're offended in Him, there's a reason for that. You need to do something with this Jesus, which is called Christ. But anyway, they want teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth, John 17:17, thy word is truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That's just something man's come up with in his fleshly mind, kind of like our Sunday school lesson this morning, the imagination of their heart. They did continually. But watch thou. We need to be on the watch.
Yeah.
You need to be looking at what's going on.
Right.
Now, I'm probably a news addict. I probably watch too much of the news. My wife, she don't like the news. I probably like it too much. One reason I watch the news is I know enough Bible that by watching the news, I can put things in perspective and I can kind of tell where we are prophecy or spiritually. I can tell where we're at. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now here's our text verse today. I have fought a good fight. I have finished, notice this, my course.
Yes.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. We'll stop our reading right there and go with me in prayer. Lord, we thank You for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. Lord, we know that Your Word is not only not outdated, but Lord, it's always applies, Lord, to what's going on in our day and hour. We know, Lord, that you declared the end from the beginning. You said Your counsel would stand. You would do all Your pleasure. You said Your word told us exceeding great and mighty things. And we need to give the most earnest heed to Your word, lest at any time we let it slip. So, Lord, this morning we thank You for these that are before us. And like them, I need to hear from Your word today. And I pray, dear God, Lord, today You preach to me and through me. May we all receive Your words today as they are the words of God. And may we all give You the praise and glory for anything, Lord, that You see fit that needs to be done here today. Let it be done by the hand of God and not by the hand of man. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Paul mentioned here, he said, I have finished my course. That's my text today. How will you finish?
Yeah.
Now, when I say how will you finish, I'm just talking about we ain't home yet. We're sojourning. We're on our way home. I don't know if there'll be one day a great plot with old brother Eddie in it or not. I'd kind of like to leave you here alive, be caught up in the air to meet the Lord that is coming, and so ever be with the Lord. I like to be like that, but we just don't know how we're going to finish.
That's right.
But I want to finish and have good. I want to have a good report. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord."
Come on now.
Now, Brother Freddie said he was in the military, and that's a blessing. I accommodate you. I salute you.
Amen.
But one thing he learned in the military, he learned discipline, didn't he, brother? Okay, a disciple of Christ is called a disciple because it's a disciplined follower. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31, He said, "If you be My disciples, continue ye in My word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I don't like being lied to, and I'm glad it's impossible for God to lie, Brother Harvey. I'm glad God, who cannot lie, promised us for the world ever was, and the promises of God, Sister Rita, are yea and amen. I mean, ain't nothing in between. It's just in the positive. Whatever God says, take it. I mean, it's the purest form of truth there is. But how will we finish our walk with God? Our Sunday school lesson this morning, we mentioned about Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. That picture's the rapture. We're a lot like Enoch. Right now we're walking with God. Someone said we got astronauts, Russia's got cosmonauts, and God, Sister Rita's got was nots. Said it was him, he was not, because God took him. Amen. Amen. I like to be taken, amen, and leave out of this curse, this sin curse. I'm talking about evil on every hand.
Yes, it is.
Man-made hell, and go to the land that God promised us. He said, I go away, prepare a place for you. And I'm glad he prepared a place for us, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
That's right.
Not only did he promise to come and get us, but he's going to take us to that place. He said that where he was, there we could be also. I can't get to heaven. You know, man, they fly these spaceships up.
That's right.
Russia, they fly their spaceships up. And
right.
I don't really know what they're up to, but I think they're trying to get to heaven, Sister Joanne, without the help of God. Now that's my gut feeling. That may not be true. But what did Jesus say? If a man climb up some other way, he's a what? A thief and a rock. So if they could somehow make it, they've got some pictures that's, I don't know how much y'all watch the internet, but they've got some pictures, boy, that makes me think they got pretty close. I mean, they showed a picture of this beautiful city that they took this picture in outer space, and it was just crystals rising way up. I mean, the crystal city. And they said, we can't explain this. Take a look at this. And I looked at it and I said, look like home to me. But man, I'm telling you, boy, we're wanting to get to heaven some way. And Jesus said, I am the way. No man come to the Father but by me. Now, I'm telling you, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. There's no other way but Jesus. And if you come up some other way, you won't make it. But if you can somehow possibly make it, you'd be thrown out as a thief and a robber. God's trying to give heaven away.
Right.
And there's people, Sister Joanne, trying to steal it.
Yeah.
Ain't that something God trying to... I witnessed to a young man this morning, my granddaughter's boyfriend. They ain't old enough to know what love is.
Yeah.
His name's Dominic. They call him Chicken. Yeah. After Dominic Chicken, you know. I said, Dominic, I said, are you saved? He said, I don't really know what that means.
Oh,
and I said, well, Dominic, here's what it means. It means you need to get saved.
That's right.
And God will help you to get saved. He wants to give you a home in heaven.
Right.
It's His gift to you. You need to get it. You need to lay hold on eternal life.
That's right.
And you need to work out your own salvation. And you need to know what it means to be saved. I said, I'd be glad to help you. By that time, the granddaughter showed up. I thought, well, I'm about to finish this conversation. But anyway, you know, a true witness delivers souls.
That's right.
The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, well, if a true witness delivers souls, what does a false witness do? It makes a twofold more child of hell than himself.
Right. Yeah.
I know I'm saved. Right. I know how to tell somebody how to be saved. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch there?
Yeah.
He said, how can I accept some man help me? They need help. They need someone to tell them, Brother Harvey, what it means to know that you're lost, what it means to know that you're saved, what it means to know that your sins are in the blood, your name's in the book, you got a home in heaven. And that's why we're here. We're His witnesses. We're His ambassadors. We represent Him here. Amen. But how will you finish? I don't know if I'm going to get to this message today or not. Oh, me. Now, I read down to verse number 8. Look at verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's just two verses down from where I stopped at. You got a man right here named Demas. He didn't really have a good finish.
Right.
He's with Paul.
right.
Which is the greatest of all apostles.
Yeah.
He's the chosen vessel that will suffer many things for Christ's sake. And Demas has seen the miracles. He's seen the mighty works. And yet Demas leaves. And Sister Edie said, having loved this present world. You see, we got a fleshly aspect. This old flesh, man, it wants to rebel. This old flesh, it wants to reject. But then we got a spirit. And the spirit wants to draw us in the right direction. The spirit wants to help us in our weakness, to help us to be strong in the Lord and power His might. I thank God for that spirit help. But Demas here leaned to the flesh, and Demas forsook Paul and forsook God. And the Bible said he done it because he loved this present world. That's a sad commentary on Demas. Paul mentioned, same chapter, believe it or not, verse 16. He said, all men forsook me.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of know what that means. You know, the righteous are bold as a lion. But some people ain't quite ready for that territory. And Paul stood for God when it wasn't easy to stand for God. And he made a word, he spoke a truth, a statement. Who said that? I need to hear things, Sister Rita. He made a statement. You know, Jesus made a statement, John chapter 6, spiritually speaking about eating His flesh and drinking His blood.
Yeah.
And they got all confused about that statement. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can know it? Amen. And the Bible said, the saddest verse in the Bible is John 6:6:6.
Amen.
It said, from that time, many disciples left Him and followed Him no more. Amen. And the next verse said, He turned to His disciples and said, will you leave also? And He said, where can we go? Thou hast the words of life. They didn't forsake Him. The others did, but they didn't.
That's right.
But anyway, Paul said he made a statement, and it was probably not one of them convenient times, you know, if probably around the enemy. And he said at my first answer, he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to the church. But I like that verse 17. Howbeit, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. He had one that did stand with him. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 13, He said that He would never leave us nor forsake us.
Right.
I'm glad we got one such cat on top with his cat on to be there by our side.
Yeah.
He won't forsake us. But I'll tell you what, between here and heaven, we're going to stay on course. You know, you got a compass, you know, and it tells you which direction to go in. Well, just think of a compass like this right here. It points you in Jesus' direction. Just go in His direction. I don't know whether through the flame or the fire or through the flood. I just know one thing. Wherever He leads, I'll follow.
Amen.
But oh, listen. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. The Lord will never leave you. The Lord will never forsake you. And it says, run with patience the race that's set before you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It's not so important that you finish first. It's not so important where you finish. Yeah. It's just important that you finish your course.
Right.
Paul said, I finished my course.
Yeah.
He said, I kept the faith. I fought the fight.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, you'll have to fight for some things.
Mm-hmm.
Keep looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. One thing you can say about Paul, he said he finished his course. Remember what Jesus said on the cross, John 19:30? It's finished.
Right.
He finished his work.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, buddy, he yielded up his ghost and he went to be with the Father. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, you did run well, Galatians 5:7. Mind me of some cars I bought.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a car nowadays, you just don't never know what you're going to get. I mean, I'm expecting any minute my wife called me, this car went belly up. I need help. I don't know how many times she's called me, Brother Mitchell. She said, you need to come out and do something. This car won't stop. She called me one down the phone before I got down there. She got it running. I don't care as long as she got it running. But, the Galatians were kind of like that. They did run well. They got to missing a little. And then they got to missing a little bit more. And Paul kind of rebuked them. He said, you did run well. He said, who did hinder you? Sometimes
Sometimes it's you doing the hindering, amen.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. We got instructions. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says that the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, righteousness. We got instructions.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've tried to put things together and I tried to leave the instructions out. You know, when you get so far in the mess, even though it's kind of embarrassing, you don't want nobody to know about you, you go get them instructions out and you say, oh man, I left that part out. Well, that's the kind of way this race we're in. We got instructions on how to finish it. We got instructions on how to finish our course like Paul, how to keep the faith, how to fight a good fight. And we got instructions, amen. Now, I'm going to use, instead of Paul, one man to bring a message this morning. That was kind of like the foundation. In 1 Kings chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, just listen to me because I'm going to be flip-flopping back and forth from 1 Kings to 2 Chronicles. But in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 9 through 15, there's a man, his name's King Asa. And I like this king. He's my kind of guy. Man, I tell you what, I give him the highest accommodation. He started out right. Man, I'm telling you, he done things that most people wouldn't do. And I'll comment on a few of them. But it talks about him, and it says, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of, I can't say this name, Abishasham. Kind of like that one preacher said when he got the word he couldn't pronounce, he'd say jackrabbit. I feel like saying jackrabbit right there. But verse 11 said, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now Asa reigned for 41 years. And let me tell you something, in those 41 years, he had 35 years of peace. That's wonderful.
Yeah,
right. And the reason for that is he did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. And let me tell you what that means about doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. And you might not agree with this, but I do. He said he took away the Sodomites out of the land.
Yeah.
And removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Micaiah's mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. And there was a lot of things he didn't do. Verse 14 says, but the high places were not removed. But listen, a positive note, even in that verse, nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. This is a good king. He done good. Not only did he destroy those idols and burn them with fire, he had several encounters. One of them was with an Ethiopian named Zerah, and he come up against Asa with his host of 1,000 thousands and 300 chariots. That's mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 9 through 15. And Asa cried to the Lord and said, Lord, it's not impossible for you to help with few as with many. He cried for God's help, and God heard him, and God came down and smote this Ethiopian king Zerah, and they defeated him and took away much spoil. He got a great victory because he called upon the right one. You know, God tells us, call upon me in a day of trouble, and I'll show you great and mighty things. You know not, Jeremiah 33:3. But he had good things about him. Man, he done things right. His heart was right. He done that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's the good about Asa.
Yeah.
Now here's the bad. He started slipping a little. Now when he started slipping a little, God sent him a warning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1 through 15, God sent a prophet to him. And the prophet pretty much in a loving way told him, don't forget God.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Don't forget, you need him.
That's right.
You know, we ain't careful. Right. We'll think somehow that we can do this thing without the help of God. I've made a few mistakes like that.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. I don't like doing nothing, Mitchell.
I don't mean.
Paul said through him, we can do all things.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know what day is going to hold, Jenny. None of us do. We don't need to be boasting about tomorrow. We just don't know what's going to come against us. I just know one thing through Him.
That's right.
I'll make it through.
Amen.
I know that through Him. I know His grace is sufficient. I know if I need more grace, He'll give more grace.
Amen.
I know He supplies my every need out of His riches and glory. I know He's never there far from any one of us. I know if we feel angry, we'll find it. Amen.
That's right.
But the prophet, in a loving way, he said, don't forget God.
Right.
You know what? He heeded that. He remembered it. And we're like Asia. We take good heed and good warning. He did. He took good warning. He took good heed. But then he went a little further there. And this is sad. I hate to even read this. I told you he reigned 41 years. I told you they had 35 years of peace.
Amen.
In the 36th year of his reign, King Baasha besieged Asia, and Asia turned to man instead of the Lord for his help. And Asia sent gold and silver out of the treasure house of the Lord to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, for help. That's mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1 through 6. Now, by the way, Ben-Hadad did help him. Matter of fact, when he came and showed up, while the one that come against him, King Baasha, he not only left, he left everything he had behind. They went out and gathered all the timbers and the rock and built a great city out of it. But oh me, listen, that began his trouble. He looked to man. The Bible said, vain is the help of man.
Right.
You know, I hate to bring it out like this, but that woman had that issue of blood. Brother Jerry, the Bible said she went to many physicians.
Mm-hmm.
She suffered many things. She could do nothing better, but rather worse. And she spent all she had.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how in the world her mind got turned to the Lord, but somehow or another her mind clicked. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I know I can be made whole. Let me tell you something. You come to God with that kind of faith. You remember that woman that was childless, and the prophet told her she'd have a son, and she had a son, and he's about 10 years old. He went out in the field to be with his father, and his head got to hurting, and he took him home, and he died. And the woman come to the husband. She said, give me an ass and a servant to go before me. I need to give to the man of God. He said, is everything all right? She said, all's well. Her son's dead. That's faith. She said, it's going to be all right.
That's right.
And she got to the man of God and she said, hey, didn't you tell me I have a son? He didn't know what the heck was even going on. He told his servant, Gaze, and said, take my staff. Don't salute nobody. Make a beeline to that boy. Lay that staff on that boy. I'll be right behind you. Well, you know what that woman, that issue of blood?
Yeah.
She said, if I could just get to Jesus. Woo! He's the great physician.
Yes.
Hey, when he raised a man been dead 4 days, the only reason he waited 4 days is you believe that a man could get up a couple of 3 days.
Right.
He said, I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't here to intent you might believe. Everything he done was trying to promote faith. Right. He said, I'm glad I wasn't here that you might believe, and he still couldn't believe.
Yeah.
And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said, if heaven called him by name, the whole graveyard got up.
Yeah.
But one of these days, the whole graveyard is going to get up.
That's right.
Amen. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. You'll get that in a minute. But oh, listen, he turned to the wrong one. And even though he got a victory, it wasn't the right victory. Now, put that in your pipe and smoke it just a minute. God sent another prophet to him, Rita. This time when the prophet delivered the message, he got mad.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He had the prophet put in prison. He's kind of like Jonah that said, I do well to be angry even unto death. You know, we got our righteous indignation.
Yeah.
The Bible does say you can get mad. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down your wrath. I get a little mad every now and then. I usually don't last long, but I don't like it.
That's
somebody
right.
says it's kind of like a shotgun, makes a loud noise, does a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get like that.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible said if a man is able to bridle his tongue, he's able to bridle the whole body. But my tongue lashes out every now and then.
Yeah.
And I say a word I have to eat later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
I don't like them leftovers.
No.
I don't like having to eat that crow. Amen. I'd hold up there and say, honey, I'm wrong. I know I am, but I just can't admit it right now. I'll get with you later.
Yeah.
Amen. You know what I mean?
Amen.
The Bible talks about the wife. You husband and dwell with them according to knowledge. You find that book. You get old brother Eddie to cop him. I ain't figured it out yet. Some of the biggest arguments I've ever got in is when I was wrong and she is right, and I wasn't willing to admit it. But anyway, he got mad,
really,
and he put this prophet into prison. Amen. And he told that prophet, he said, I don't like the message. Amen.
Right.
Well, the message wasn't from him. He's just a messenger boy like me.
Right.
He's just delivering the message of God.
Yeah, that's right.
He reigned 41 years.
Right.
Brother Mitchell.
Right.
Had 35 years of peace.
Yes, right.
And in the 36th year of his reign,
right,
he turned to the wrong one. You know, we have a lot of trials in life.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do.
Tempted and tried.
Yeah.
Oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living so wicked, we'll understand it all by and by. We don't understand it now. But oh, listen, he had 35 years of peace. And in the 36th year, he only reigned 41 years.
Right.
In the 36th year of his reign, he made a terrible mistake. And God noticed that mistake. And God sent this prophet to him. He sent Hannah, the prophet, to reprove him. And Asa put him in prison. And not only did he put him in prison, the Bible said that he oppressed the people. He's mad. I mean, he's not pleasant to be around no more. He's a different Asia. And like I said, maybe he's like Jonah. Thought he had a reason to be mad. But the ugly about Asia, in the 39th year of his reign, Asia was diseased in his feet. And his disease was exceeding great. It's amazing God recorded this so we could look at it.
Yeah.
I talked about receive instruction so that we could receive instruction. He said in the 39th year of his reign, Asia, now this ain't the prophet Hanan, this is God dealing with Asia. He's diseased in his feet, and his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. That's found in 2 Chronicles Chapter 16, verse 12. That's a sad commentary.
That's right.
See, he's not finishing well. He had a heck of a start. He had a heck of a middle. He started strumming a little bit there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible talked about some concerning faith that they've made shipwreck. I don't want shipwreck.
No.
Someone said a ship, as long as the water don't get in, will float. But if the water gets in the ship will sink.
It'll sink.
I don't want a shipwreck.
No.
Paul said he didn't want to end up on that pile of castaways. I don't want to be on the pile of someone that God can't use.
That's right.
You know, I mentioned about in Isaiah chapter 6 about Isaiah seeing the Lord on his throne. And he heard the Lord say, who'll go for us? And Isaiah, without thinking, he stayed his hand and said, here am I, Lord, send me. And God said, go. And he took off going.
Right.
And said, how long shall I go? And God said,
right,
till the city be wasted and the land be utterly desolate and the city be without inhabitants. We need to keep going for God. But oh me, here, Asia, his commentary, it's got a terrible end. It's an ugly end. He sought not to the Lord for this problem with his feet. I had an uncle, and I'm going to guess that Brother Harvey probably knows him. Doyle Matthews. That was my uncle. Yeah. Doyle had cancer. I hadn't been saved very long. I didn't know just not very much at all. Just know a little bit more than that now. But I was praying for Doyle, and I wasn't letting up. And I was fasting. Matter of fact, I've done a lot of fasting when I first got saved. I was in better health. I lost like 40-some pounds. You talking about losing some weight? Man, I'll tell you what, I'm down. I mean, it wasn't meant for my belt. I couldn't help my pants up. I lost 40-some pounds. I didn't really understand about fasting, but I'm fasting and praying for my hope for Lord. And I guess God had enough of it. God kind of put it in my heart to go over and see my hope for Lord. And I drove over there, Brother Freddie, over on Walnut Street, and when I pulled in my Uncle Doyle's driveway, he's in the front yard talking with his neighbor. And I got out of the car and I walked up to him and I said, Doyle, I've been praying for you and I really believe that if you bring your situation to the Lord, He'll help you with it. And I didn't know what to say. I mean, golly, I'm just a babe in Christ. But his neighbor said, Doyle, this young man's telling you right. That's what you need to do. And I remember Doyle looked at him.
Right.
And Doyle looked at me. Brother Mitchell, the words he spoke still haunt me today. He said, no, they've come out with a new pill. He said, I'm trusting in that new pill. I was his pallbearer within 2 weeks.
Right.
You better be careful what you put your trust
that's
in.
Right.
The
that's
Bible
right.
says, trust in the Lord with all your might. That's trust right. in the Lord. He'll never do you wrong. But oh, listen, he didn't turn to God. He turned to physicians. Matter of fact, verse 12 talks about he didn't turn to God. Verse 13 said he died. Now King Hezekiah, I just want to throw this in real quick. He had a similar reign as Asia. And he stumbled also in the latter part of his reign because his heart was lifted up with pride. And the prophet brought unto him the terrible bad news. And Isaiah the prophet said, set thy house in order. For tomorrow this time thou shalt surely die. But instead of Hezekiah getting mad, Hezekiah turned to the wall and he humbled himself and he prayed and he wept before the Lord. And the Lord gave him 15 more years of life. That's a better commentary than Asia. That's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 through 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, all the way through 2 Chronicles chapter 32. You can learn a lot about King Hezekiah. He brought to God's attention, remember how I walked before you, Lord. Now he's in trouble right now. He knows why he's in trouble, but he also knows what to do about it, Ed.
That's right.
And he said, Lord, I need mercy. You know what? That prophet didn't even get off of the grounds of the courtyard, and God said, turn around and go back.
Yeah.
You know, some people dial 911, he dialed G-O-D. We didn't talk. I need help now.
That's good.
I mean, the Bible said the time will come before you ever even speak it. God will answer. Well, it's kind of like that, reader. He got an answer for you ever got all the way out. God told that prophet, go back, tell Hezekiah. I heard your prayer.
Yeah.
I seen your tears.
Amen.
I'm going to add to your life 15 more years.
Come on.
Right. Boy, what a mighty God we serve.
Yeah.
He's mighty in mercy, gracious, good.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, beloved, let me just say this morning. Stay on course.
Yes.
That's right.
Finish your course.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the golf course. I'm talking about God's course.
Right.
Listen, we'll soon leave out. You know how it is, the closer you get to the end. You remember Peter got out of that good boat? Why a man would get out of a good boat, walk on water, I don't know. But he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to you. And the Lord said, okay, come on. And he got out of a good,
Amen.
Solid boat in the middle of the storm and started walking on stormy waves. And man, the closer he got to Jesus, Brother Mitchell, the less he thought he needed help.
Yeah.
He started sinking.
Yes, he did.
But the Bible said he cried out, Lord, save me. And that word says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, pulled him up, said, West did thy doubt. See, the closer we get, the more vulnerable we are.
That's right.
We just need to remember we ain't home yet.
That's right.
There's a devil
right.
down here walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Amen.
He wants you, he wants me.
Yeah.
He wants to turn your life upside down. He wants to give you every kind of headache and problem there is. But I'm glad that God be for us.
Amen.
Who can be against us? Stay on course. We're soon to get out of here. I got good news. Everybody's happy in heaven. I got news. We're leaving out on the first load. I say like John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, glory to God.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Right.
I just want to leave us to stay.
That's right.
I've about had enough to hear. I'm just telling you, I'm so homesick for heaven.
Yeah,
boy. Heaven hurt my feet. God said, let's go home, boy. Y'all get to see right before your eyes. Old Brother Eddie fall down and somebody make a mistake of making a line and say, Eddie's dead. It's not all your life has ever been. Amen. I'm in the land of living.
That's
right. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for your word. We thank you for the message. Lord, help us to not only to keep the example of Asia in our heart, Lord, to be reminded, Lord, that we can get so close to finishing our course and fall out of the way. Help us, I pray, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Help us to stand with the armor on and having done all to stand there with. We might not be gaining ground, but help us to stand our ground. And Lord, we ask for your help because we need it. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, because you offer your help. You offer it to all of us. And Lord, it's there for anybody that wants it. We thank you, Lord, for the help of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Get Brother Jerry, if you would please, just to sing a verse of invitational hymn to us this morning. I don't know how the Word of God went to you. I don't know what you've been battling. I don't know what your week's been like. I just know one thing. God's bigger than any problem we got.
Yes, it is.